in a town like Mystic...
I'm not gonna be slinging pizza for the rest of my life. The best pizza!
The only thing for certain is that nothing is predictable.
Give it to me!
Mystic Pizza.
Baby!
A romantic comedy with the works.
December 1988. The world holds its collective breath when Gary Busey is critically injured in a motorcycle crash. Every Rose Has Its Thorn hits number one on Billboard. Twins tops the box office. And A Very Brady Christmas is the highest rated TV movie of the year. But you don't care much about all that because you've arrived early at the Town the Mall food court waiting for your secret admirer to show up. You consider getting a large orange Julius, but you decide now is not the time to get ice cold diarrhea. So you decide to kill some time at Aladdin's Castle, which is packed. But as usual, your favorite game, Lee Trevino's Fighting Golf, is free. Now, it is called Lee Trevino's Fighting Golf, but of course you play as Pretty Amy since she's the most rounded character in the game. Sure, you could play as Big Jimbo, but when it comes to digital links, you crave consistency and abhor characters with redundant nomenclature. But you're having a hard time tonight. The people at the cabinet next to you playing Narc are making a lot of noise. Not that you can blame them. Narc is an exciting game that takes players through an urban wasteland of drug dealers, smugglers, craze killers, and desperate bad guys. Armed with machine guns and rocket bombs, Hitman and Max Force fight their way through back alleys, abandoned warehouses, and across bridges in a mission to crush the criminal empire known as crack. And then it dawns on you. The one celebrating each and every hobo death in Narc sounds like Dennis from second period history class. And you say second period again because he dropped out or has been expelled or something, and you spent more time calling him Dennis from second period history class last year than you did calling him Dennis from fourth period history class this year. Plus, no one else switched to fourth period when they mentioned him, so why fight it? You keep your eyes on Lee Trevino's Fighting Golf, but you can sense he's noticed you and you can feel him staring at you. Then Phil Collins's Two Hearts from the motion picture Buster starts playing, and everything is terrible, including Two Hearts from the motion picture Buster and also the motion picture Buster. This is so awkward. You give a kid a quarter to go put something else on the jukebox, but what? In Your Room by the Bangles, Smooth Criminal, Armageddon It, Wild Thing, The Non-Corrected, Kokomo? You wish you knew what was good. Maybe it's time to break out the latest issue in your bag and see what's what. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
It's time to go lie down for David T. Cole is what time it is.
I've got such a
headache. Next time, and I feel like we'll be talking about the fashion issue of December 88.
I've had a headache for 24 hours now. It won't go away. Oh, and I also kind of feel like I'm going to barf. So I'm either going to be very quiet or extremely entertaining. Let's find out.
Oh, let's do.
So I know I don't always remember exactly where I lived. And I don't. I'm going to blame
always.
The pandemic, because I used to. I have a pretty good idea of where I was and when. I don't know now. But I'm pretty sure December of 88, I was finishing my first semester of freshman year.
You weren't, because if I was a freshman, you
God
were in grade 8.
Damn it. God damn it.
It's pandemonium here.
Did you skip a grade? Because that's the only way.
No, I wasn't pampered like
that. Were
you
held back, Pam?
Fucking shit. Ugh. Well,
we'll see you in a year, whatever that
see you
story
later.
Was.
See you
and
later.
Now on with the rest of the show.
What now?
There's a little blip here about Robert Downey Jr.'s upcoming films, one of which is 1969, co-starring Kiefer. That's the only reason I did it. Moving on. Kiefer Sutherland is his co-star, and fun fact, had this poster on my wall. Kiefer's in like a peace sign necklace. I was very flower child because I was living in Mississippi. I'm about to move, and when I move, the school that I went to for just a short period of time at the top of 89, they called me Moonbeam. We can cut all that.
Yeah, this was, I put this in the category of movies that once you knew who Winona Ryder was, you may have like gone back through her filmography to catch up. And it was not what you hoped that she was doing or what you wanted to see her do. Welcome Home, Roxy Carmichael is another one like that.
First of all, what now? I'm getting sick of all the sideways things of what now. Mm-hmm. I understand it was kind of quirky and different, but boy, am I sick of holding the magazine this way and that way, or not being willing to change the orientation of that magazine and then turning my head this way. And that doesn't work either. It's probably what started this headache. Anyways, let me start off with what smog can do. For some bizarre reason, these researchers in California put 20 condoms over test tubes to find out if ozone from air pollution would affect them. After 3 days of scrupulous observation, they noticed that the prophylactics began to deteriorate. Their scientific discovery? Condoms should be kept in airtight plastic or foil packages. Thanks.
A couple of things about this. One, what were they kept in before? Like wax paper? Like, what if not foil?
I think they're just confirming that the condom industry is doing a great bang-up job.
Bang-up. Mm. The other thing is that over both of these pages, there are spots where it's looking like paint spatter because we're just in such a hurry of different colors. And
thank you for bringing this up.
They've made this item about smog, I guess, smog covered, and then there's paint spatters, and they don't, because of the topic, it doesn't look like
it's
smog.
A little spoogey.
It is it's a little spoogey.
It's the right word. It should have been the sassy slang word of the month. Spoogey.
Now, at this time in the late 80s, I think we saw the start of the bargain store, like your 99-cent stores, your discount stores, your closed-out stores. Mm-hmm. So I feel like maybe the impetus was that somebody had the idea for a loose bin condom area where you just scoop them up. You know, like, you ever been to, like, a sporting goods store and it's like all the tees you can grab for a dollar? If you could, like, reach into the bucket, whatever you got in your hand, it costs you a dollar for all those golf tees.
Right.
Same thing, but condoms. And somebody's like, well, you know, what if people have, like, you know, oil on their hand? Mm-hmm. Can we do a test on this?
Right.
And then they did.
Well, I did find the article that must have inspired the Spooge report. Young men who go out at night with romance in their hearts and condoms in their wallets should find another storage place, medical researchers say. Ozone is threatening to tear condoms packaging and expose them to air, and that should be avoided. So you should not be putting it in your back pocket, sitting on it, or in any way damaging your condom. So you people just take a rolled up condom? No! Even Kinnicky opened something and then it broke. I mean, we all knew this from Greece.
I think the thinking is if you put it in your pocket or your wallet, there's enough jostling that the package may open in some way.
Yes, I don't think.
Exposing it to air?
Yes, I don't think they're suggesting that people are.
It sounds a little too risky to actually let condoms come in contact with air. So my suggestion is to use the foil instead of the condom.
You solved it.
All right, moving on. These girls don't give up. There's some girls that were like super sassy fans. So they did all these things to get into these sassy offices and get their attention, including making a video, a summation of all the things they did. I only brought it up because one of them apparently is wearing a t-shirt that said cork sandals rule. And they didn't understand that, the people at Sassy. Neither do I. But I love it for some reason, and I kind of want to make my own shirt that says cork sandals rule now. I don't know why. Maybe sell it on the Sassy store.
Merch.
Yeah. I don't know why cork sandals rule. It's just like, what a great conversation starter to walk down the street corner.
Yeah. I didn't get that either. And the fact that no one on staff remembered made me think it wasn't something that they had said in an earlier issue where they're like either pro or con cork sandals. There's a big thing in a couple of issues from now where they're pro Birkenstocks and clogs. Because that's what a cork sandal is, like that footbed.
Cork sandals sound like a great idea until you fall into the water and then like you turn upside down because the cork's the only thing that doesn't sink. And then you drown because you can't right yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. That's why you're never supposed to go in the pool with cork sandals. First, don't eat. Second, cork sandals.
Really loving that we're getting our answer on how this headache is going to affect Dave really very, very quickly. Here it is.
Very, very quickly.
We now know.
I cannot remember what I said a minute ago. I know there's something to do with smog and condoms, but that's it.
Please keep your cork sandals in airtight plastic or foil packaging.
Next up, AIDS.
AIDS. No. A group of 130 teenagers in Missouri started a free AIDS hotline to answer questions about...
What if you did a for-profit AIDS hotline? Are you worried you have AIDS? Please insert 50 more cents.
That would be a 976 number, and this is not.
Right.
So the number at the time in December 1988 was 1-800-234-TEEN. So, of course, I had to Google and see if it was still in use. Because sometimes when we're talking about Melrose Place or 90210, they talk about RAIN, and that phone number was still the same, R-A-I-N-N, has never changed. But this one is not still in use. But however, if you Google the actual numbers that correspond to TEEN, which is 8336, the first thing that comes up is an HIV-AIDS program in Maryland. So how did this phone number move from Missouri to Maryland, if it did? And if not, how did Google know that this ever was AIDS-related? Crazy.
Why didn't you call the number?
Why would I call the number? I'm not a person with AIDS in Maryland.
And then you're like on the phone and they're trying to like, you know, they're going through the script and what to do when you got, you know, I was like,
they're trying to sell me AIDS, Pam. Yeah. I don't need that shit.
No, I don't think you think it's still some teenagers in Kansas City, Missouri. No, they're old now.
We know you have your choice of AIDS information hotlines and we'd like to thank you for calling 234-TEEN. Please insert 50 cents to find out if you have AIDS.
Sue, let me go. I have to turn my head all the way around to read We Infiltrate Red Square. Elizabeth's sister Anne was in the Soviet Union, where American Levi's and rap albums are luxury items, and a guy asked if she had any magazines like Vogue, Glamour, or Sassy, which is very exciting.
How long do you think the United States of America got juice out of the notion that bringing Levi's to the Soviet Union was like bringing a suitcase full of gold over there? Like, wasn't that a thing for like 15 years?
Well, it was a plot point kind of in WandaVision, not with jeans, but they show the dad coming back with like precious DVDs that he smuggled from somewhere to somewhere.
Right.
Anyway, all I wanted to say about this item was when you see the little photo of Elizabeth's sister with these two girls in Moscow. This is not the same sister that was in Inside Out in the November issue. But you sure can tell when you look at her, this is another Elizabeth sister. And I just want to suggest that all of the Larson sisters are some kind of girls from Brazil situation because they look so much alike.
I just hope that the Russians love their children too.
Oh, boy.
I think we all hope that. Sassy glossary definition number 9. This month, our glossary term is grotty. Rhymes with potty, meaning dirty, gross, or grody, as in Keanu Reeves must be pretty grotty since he only bathes once, maybe twice a week. I think that's what they said about Brad Pitt, too. This is one it's no Groovox. I do rarely still hear grotty used. I think this is more UK
slang. I think grotty is just a mealy-mouth grody. Like, you know, how the English language often vowels get combined or endings get lost, and then that becomes the new word over time. I feel like grotty never really was. It was always grody.
I feel like it's like shit and shite. I think it is in use in the UK.
Well, Sassy is an American magazine.
You're right.
I don't want to see any shit from Australia. I don't want to see any. I mean, what was the one? What was the crack? That was
the
another
crack.
One.
Like the crack.
The crack. That was never, ever used in America. I'm just saying, Sassy magazine, hire an intern, send her out into Times Square, have her talk to people, or just have her listen, and let's get some American slang in here.
Yeah.
Google, which knows all things, including teen hotline numbers and where they went, says that grotty comes from grotesque from the 60s. Mm. And yes, you're right, informal British.
It's Christmas and there's a book giveaway. And one of them is The New Breed, Actors Coming of Age by Karen Hardy, with little Stephen Baldwin coming of age right on the cover, giving his best blue steel in a car. Several different copies are on eBay. Pretty good deals. It's out of print, though, so this is the only way that you can get it. And photography about stars you would want to see: Johnny Depp, Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, John Cusack. along with enlightening quotes like this one from Johnny Depp. I'd love to play the cockroach in Kafka's The Metamorphosis. Pam?
Does that do for you, Pam? Yes.
It's definitely when I went and bought a copy of Kafka's Metamorphosis and read it. I still have it.
Oh, Pam.
Oh, Pam.
And the other book is the Rattle and Hum book, a tie-in to the U2 movie. And those are also on eBay, but does anyone care, really? I'm asking. I don't.
No.
All right.
Okay, great.
Watch it!
Watch it.
Watch it.
The Watch It hit this month, getting all 5 stars, is Clara's Heart. In her review, Catherine writes, with this part, Whoopi Goldberg finally proves that The Color Purple wasn't a fluke. She can act. Did people think The Color Purple was a fluke? Of course Whoopi Goldberg can act. What are you talking about?
It does sound like something you regret in print later, though. You're like, I called Whoopi Goldberg's acting in The Color Purple a fluke.
Right. But then you try and defend it saying, no, I said it's not a fluke. I said other people might have thought it's a fluke. I didn't think it was a fluke. But anyway.
I didn't.
Yes. This also sounds like a yikes along the lines of The Help to contemporary eyes.
Did you watch the trailer?
No.
A little white boy that wins her heart by being, I don't know, stupid white. Or something. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, here's a little clip.
If I'm a jerk, you're a boo-boo.
Oh, well, then you're a super dweeb.
But if I am a super dweeb, you are a boo-boo yaga.
Yikes. Yeah.
And that little kid is Neil Patrick Harris. Doogie was 2 years after this, I think. Mm-hmm. Janet Maslin, in her Times review, writes, Clara's Heart, which is notably lacking in any sense of socioeconomic reality, even sends David, the kid, with Clara into Baltimore's inner city, where he learns more lessons about life and discovers that Clara has a terrible secret. The film is exasperatingly slow in getting to the bottom of this, and the secret itself doesn't do anything to explain Clara's character, although she did think Neil Patrick Harris was good, and he has gone on to have a pretty good career, so I guess his acting in this movie wasn't a fluke either.
Then we have The Beast, another film that just I would have never seen. Jason Patrick is in it, playing a soldier named Kovrchenko. It's Russians against Afghans, and it's war movies. It's just... Not in my wheelhouse, but there's a sentence here from Jane that says, it has a small cast, so you can actually care when someone is hurt/killed. And I was like, God damn it. I was like, that is just why you don't get invited to things, you know, where you're like,
I liked it. It had a small cast, so I really cared about who got hurt or killed. And then the vampire, when the vampire was mad at the other guys.
Wait a sec. God. There's a vampire driving the tank?
Well, Jason Patrick.
Mm-hmm. He's a vampire in this movie? It's getting more interesting. Please fill in the blanks for me.
Oh, that's called Haunted Summer Beast.
I see. One of the people that get killed in this movie, shown in the trailer, is some poor Afghani who gets run over very slowly by a tank, and they show as much as they can without actually killing the actor on set, I'm going to guess. So
that's in the trailer.
It's in the trailer. Yikes. Yeah. Yikes. It was almost like the scene with the steamroller in Austin Powers. It took that long.
Yeesh.
This movie strikes me as sort of like Fury, the Brad Pitt tank movie, but set in more modern days.
Yep.
Oh, so he's the Beast.
The Beast is the tank.
Oh.
Or the Beast is the animal inside of all of us when we go to war, Pam. But my money's on the tank!
We all were good at writing essays about books we didn't see or read or watch the movie about.
I remember having to do a history book report. Like the thing was like, find a book with about a historical event and then read it and do a book report. And it was like this really quick turnover. So I made up a book based on something I thought would be really easy to like write about. So like a Vietnam vet's return to America.
Oh, no.
It was super easy to write because I just, like, whatever movie I saw about that, I just made that the book and changed a few things around and, yeah, got full marks for it. So,
wow.
You know, just saying.
Well, you did better making up a book than Roman Roy in that one episode of Succession.
Yep.
All right. Here's where we get to the sacrilege part of the December 1988 Watch It page. Mystic Pizza, 2 stars. Now, Elizabeth is the reviewer. She's basically says, it's fine, but the working class girls dating upper crust guys theme has been way overused. This movie isn't shedding any new light on it. True, but that's only one of the 3 storylines in the movie. And, like, I don't disagree about the plot. I think what she's missing is the performances really elevate this movie. Granted, I haven't seen it in quite a while, but I remember it being pretty good. So I think this is an overly mean review of a movie that you feel is, like, being marketed directly to you, and you're going to be like, no, I don't like it, which I understand. Onward. Okay. Unless there's more to say about it. It seemed like that was the end.
I was trying to think of some pizza pun, but it wasn't happening.
Okay. Well, it's on Netflix, so, Dave, if you've never seen it, and I assume you haven't, we can always watch it. All right.
Oh, I hope he just does that for the rest of the episode.
Stand in the place where you live. Now face no. Think about direction. Wonder why you have it now. Stand in the place where you were. Now face west. Think about the place where you live. Wonder why you have it.
REM's Green, a perfect album. Jangly guitars are the way. Clipping that for this podcast sent me fully back to 1988 like a time machine. That song is still so good. I know some hardcore REM fans, including in my Twitter feed when I tweeted this, turn their noses up at Stand because it seems like too much of a departure and too poppy compared to their other stuff. But they've always been good songwriters and good melodic pop writers. It's just like, people get snobby about it. Stand is a good song, but there are also lots of other pure bangers on this. One of them, you could say, is Orange Crush. And I regret to tell you that Jane did not get what it was actually about. She writes, REM is so great. What other band would write a song with the lyrics, I've got my orange crush, and then sing and play it, not cutesy or anything, but in all seriousness? Yeah, it's because it's about Agent Orange, Jane. Which a future letter writer has to tell her several issues from now.
Really?
Yes. This gaffe is an all-timer that I still remember to this day.
The first draft was called Fanta.
I've got my Sprite. I've got my Orange Crush is what we thought it was because of this review.
Sure.
And yeah, I didn't know. I was just as clueless as Jane. Because I had only read Dave's review of what the Vietnam War was. So it did mention a lot of snacks.
They spat in my face. It tasted like Orange Crush.
Also, this was because Stand was that song, like, everybody, when you have a band you love and everybody's like, oh my God, I love that. A Stand in the, and you're like, no.
What was that?
No.
What was that song? How'd that go again?
Stand in the face of you.
No.
Oh, is that Fergal singing that?
I'm just kind of a purist. I'm really more into, like, the Swan H years of my type. And I like this album, Athens GA.
This album, if you haven't seen Athens GA, Inside Out, it's a documentary that came out just like a couple of years before this issue of Sassy. And it's all about REM and B-52s. And it had a song on it, a cover that REM did of All I Have to Do Is Dream. That was my, like, check every record store you ever go into search because I couldn't find the soundtrack for this thing. And it's such a beautiful, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous cover. And now you can find it. I put it on the mixtape for this month. But I just remember constantly telling people, because I saw it once late at night, maybe on 120 minutes or something. And then never again. And it was like I had made it up. It exists. It's beautiful. And Athens GA Inside Out. It's a great documentary. I'll find the link again and give it to you. The thing is, Tom Waits was where I was like, what is college rock though? Like, what? Who are these college people? And are they really sitting around listening to this circus clown yelling? I know it's not going to win me fans, but he's a scary man. He's a scary sounding clowny clown clown. He is what a hurdy-gurdy is. All these words that make me uncomfortable is the sound of Tom Waits waking up in the morning before he brushes his teeth.
Tom Waits is musical phlegm.
Yes. Yes, Tom Waits is musical phlegm.
Yes.
Is the sound of my soul.
When they spat on his face when he came back from the Vietnam War, the magical fairy sprinkled dust on his face. That phlegm grew up to be Tom Waits, musical genius, and the rest is history. Yeah, Tom Waits is one of those, like, if you tell me you're really, like, if you really want to talk to me about Tom Waits, I know we can't be friends. I feel like in the Canadian Tom Waits, in that same regards, not that they make the same kind of music, but if you really want to have a really long conversation with me about Leonard Cohen, I'm going to have the same reaction. I would definitely listen to Leonard Cohen before I would listen to Tom Waits, but I feel like they're both insufferable. They both create insufferable fans in the same way.
I thought you were going to say tragically hip.
No,
which people also like to lecture you.
Tragically
about.
Hip, I don't have strong feelings about. Mm. But I get it.
On two sides of a scary alley, Tom Waits is on one side and Leonard Cohen is the other side. Seriously, and you're running from that sound, and the other one's like, baby, you know this is where I'll take you. It's like just trying to get home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Leonard Cohen at the end of the alley with an axe. It's closing time. Yeah. And Tom Waits with his songs that pertain to the situation saying that title.
Mm-hmm. Her name was Martha, and I love her. It's just always drunk regrets.
Yeah, something about whiskey in the desert.
Oh, the hurdy-gurdy accordion sang.
Deserts,
song.
Old faded signs, dirt with unique qualities. These are the things I believe Tom Waits makes songs out of.
She was mine.
He's so close because, Dave, you love deserts and old faded signs.
But I don't want songs about them.
Don't you?
No.
All right.
I don't want songs about them.
Guess yeah. I'll cancel that Fiverr order that I made for your Christmas gift.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of opinions about Tom Waits.
Sorry. The worst idea.
Okay.
So you list your favorite songs and then you paid Tom Waits to cover them. And you have to listen to it.
Think about Drexel Underwire.
Two hearts. Something, something, just one mind from the motion picture Buster.
I've been trying to make this observation about Tom Waits for like 5 minutes. So I don't know if it's still worth making at this point.
We'll try it.
I just hope that Tom Waits loves his children too. Would you say, Tara, that you've been Tom waiting for a moment?
A long time. She's been Tom waiting big time.
I mean, it's hardly worth saying now, but I'm going to anyway. Doing this clip made me realize Tom Waits and Ron Perlman had merged into one guy in my mental reference library. That's all.
Yep.
Loved Tom Waits in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, he was a good Hellboy.
Mm-hmm. I don't not like Tom Waits. It just, I think, like Dave, I don't want to talk about it. I'll listen to it alone. I want to be, it's fine, and a little, but not like, who just binges on Tom Waits? I have the same question.
Rusty typewriters. Poems never written.
She was a fair market louse. And my last confession.
Insects drinking bourbon.
I'll have a grasshopper and a grasshopper with you.
Honestly, Pam, I could do like an hour of this after as a bonus episode, just coming up with things that we think Tom Waits thinks about. She used to be a nun.
Listen to sassy.com/club.
I can't wait.
She used to be a nun.
I took her faith in Christ and I threw it by the river.
But the riverbed is dry.
Where she drowned in a puddle of tears. We were wild dogs and madmen and
dry riverbeds and angry dogs and desert motifs. These oh my god, days, I'm getting dizzy.
I'm John C. Reilly in a Seth Rogen coat. My ass.
A warm winter coat on a warm summer day, juxtapositions.
And according to Nancy.
It's just some random lady's name, always.
An old Indian head nickel.
That was the luck of the draw.
A burlesque dancer from the 70s I thought was cool and I think is a minor celebrity. I couldn't name you one fucking Tom Waits song. I'm honest, God. I don't know one Tom Waits song. All right, we got to move on. But this
I
could
hope
be enough.
Something better comes along.
Ow. I'm not mad at Bad Medicine. I don't like Bon Jovi. I don't like that kind of music. But something happened. There was some question on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, or it was a note in a question about how this song was used in the UK to talk about a soccer player that played a while ago named Barry Venison, and they just redid the song about him. Your love is like Barry Venison. That is that song for me now. My brain just now switches it. I don't really know who he is.
Who made Rain Man? He's Barry Levinson. Barry Levinson is what you need.
I guess it works. I am not a Bon Jovi person either, and I just want to know that people who love Bon Jovi, do you still, like, let's take Living on a Prayer. I only like Living on a Prayer ironically as the next person, but not like honest love. But I think that way about all the things that New Jersey claims. Do you know what I mean? Like the pop culture that Jersey wears as a jersey.
New Jersey is a garbage state. We understand what you're saying.
Oh my God. I don't even know that. No,
was I reading into that? Sorry.
You were. I just mean like it's proud properties.
Isn't that their slogan, the garbage state?
It's close. It's spelled with a G.
Oh, okay.
It's close. But just slow down when you read it next time. You'll be like, oh, I was doing that.
If you love my take on Tempe, Arizona, you'll just go apeshit over my opinion of New Jersey.
This may be the headache talking, but fuck all these people. Yeah. So in this review, Karen gives Bon Jovi's New Jersey 2 stars, which is 2 stars more than Dave would give the state of New Jersey. She'd care for it too much, but this, I will take back everything I just said to say, I'll be there for you is a pretty good song. But it totally rips off the Beatles' Don't Let Me Down for a good minute and a half before it gets to the chorus. Nobody ever loved me. It's like, it's you can't just do that on your song and be like, we're Bon Jovi. Anyway, that's my tight 35 on Bon Jovi's New Jersey.
And she told me about her turnpike dreams.
She was slippery when wet and conversational.
The tall red exact change.
I mean, the ultimate Tom Waits jersey song is the Ho from Hoboken, and I think we all know that. Wow, nothing?
I don't...
Any hoodle.
Is that a Tom Waits song?
No.
Oh. Is that Bon Jovi song?
No, it's just Hoboken is a town in New Jersey. Forget it. Cut all that.
No!
Oh, you were doing a bit. Sorry.
She's so mad. Look at her.
I'm not.
She looks like she just lost at game night.
I just want to wrap it up so Dave can go to bed.
Dave. God damn it, Dave.
Shh. The classical band is playing. Certainly this classical band bit will last for a while. I don't know about you guys, but my expectations were subverted.
Yes, this is the bomb of the month is State of Euphoria by Anthrax. Future news radio cameoers, Anthrax. Yeah. Andrea reviews this album. She doesn't like it. She has very little to say about it. If you want to listen to hard rock, listen to The Cult or Guns N' Roses, which, okay. Guns N' Roses are pretty soft, too, in my opinion. But anyway, they've already established in previous issues, they have a metalhead on staff. It's Anne. So why would they not get Anne to review this album, especially since when I looked into it, apparently this was a big departure from the band's previous sound. Fans were mad about it, especially that song that we just played, which is like the cello bit that's about homelessness or something. So like someone who had any context.
Rewind. Are you saying that that represents homelessness or is that something that they're saying?
No, that's what the song is about.
Okay.
The cello, just the cello part.
Cello homelessness, you know.
No.
Robert Downey Jr.'s in a wheelchair under the
orchestra.
LA freeway.
No.
She was second cello in the orchestra. Now she lives on Skid Row.
Oh, you said second cello, but I heard sucking jello.
I got my Sprite, I got my
Also, I was wrong. The homelessness track was a different song. But the point is, fans were mad. And Anne might have known that because she had context for what they sounded like before, but they didn't get her to review it. And this is my ongoing problem with the review assignments in this magazine. Get people to review things that are in the line of stuff they like.
Yep.
Do you think, though, just they sometimes give them a word count and then you have to fit it? Because it always seems like they're just like, there's like one or two that's just like, I didn't bother to read it or watch the thing and it's stupid.
Maybe.
I mean, how hard is it to shit out a review the size that they do? It's like 2 inches, column inches, right?
Yeah.
Like that is basically, I listened to the album. I'd like songs 2 and 6. And further, Dave.
I take it back. Yeah. I apologize.
But usually they don't even do that. It's like, it's Neil being like, I saw the movie and it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Don't say why. End of review.
Yeah.
I did make you a mixtape for this month. I do try to include songs that we either mentioned or topics that we mentioned in other episodes so that it's the whole issue and not just the what now. This month's playlist has some songs from Bon Jovi and Anthrax and R.E.M., but also Cigarettes and Coffee and a song called La Machine. So don't miss
it.
When you said Cigarettes and Coffee, somewhere Tom Waits' head perked up. What?
He sure did.
Faded big top, cigarettes and coffee.
Yep.
For the second month in a row, Sassy proudly presents a successful one to watch. This week it is Jack Nicholson Jr., Christian Slater. Yep.
It's a very cute picture of him.
Just to update you, this puts the one to watch hit rate at 2 out of 10. So they're at 20% success rate.
No spoilers, but they're going to bring that up to 3 out of 12 pretty soon. So I'm excited for that.
This is a very dreamy picture of Christian Slater.
You know,
this is a good post, like on your wall locker shot. that you kiss before you leave for class.
He never did it for me. I'm sorry. I never thought he was cute. We talked about him in a Patreon episode of the 90210 podcast because there was a like hottest men now pictorial in Us Weekly and he was one of them. And I said then, and I stand by it, he looks like a face drawn on a cookie to me.
What do you mean drawn on a cookie?
He just looks like he's got a flat featureless face. Just
you
looks
say
like
it like a
flat
thing.
Cookie face.
Is it Canadian cookie face cookies? No, you mean
he's the ultimate Carvel ice cream geek.
You know when you decorate a cookie and you draw a face
on
it?
He's got a cookie puss.
Fudgy the whale. Christian Slater.
I don't know that I've ever drawn a face on a cookie.
Well.
You mean with icing?
He's got a certain computer generated quality to him because he has like three expressions, right? Mm-hmm. So he sort of has a Max Headroom like somebody's programming Christian Slater behind the scenes vibe to me. And I think that translates into cookie face. I think I get that. Designed to be kind of generically blank in a way.
Yeah, he doesn't have his cuteness is not interesting to me. I guess that's a better way to put it.
We all can't be cockroaches, Pam.
This is what I'm saying. I think part of it is I started on the legend of Billie Jean Christian Slater.
Right.
So Binks had a little bit of more of a McConaughey-esque ness to him.
I started with the Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country cameo Christian Slater, in which he knocks on Mr. Sulu's door and you only see him backlit and in silhouette. But, you know, that got my motor running. Maximum warp.
Didn't you? But you saw Name of the Rose, Starlight right? Jam. I thought that was
Name
in
of
your...
the Rose, yeah. I think that's probably the first thing I saw him in.
Yeah.
Stupid, though. That was Tom Waits as the guy from Name of the Rose. Stupid, though. Stupid, though.
Is he naked in this movie? Yeah.
Is it a rumor or was he naked in... Because I never saw The Name of the Rose, but I think where he is naked.
He has sex with like a peasant girl and she's naked, but I don't think he... I think he sees his butt.
That counts.
I do. I like him better now. I'll say that. I think he's really grown into his range as an actor later in life. He was really good in Dr. Death this year and in Dirty John, Betty last year. This is also a reminder. And they said that the significance of Gleaming the Cube is none. It's a made up fictional skateboarders term, which is still so funny. It's like making up all the grifts in Ocean's 11 where they're like, it's an Aunt Betty or whatever. None of them are really correspond to anything real. And the other one that was like a raging debate went on the internet about the dreaded Rear Admiral, which they made up for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And then people were like, no, we had that at my school. Like, no, you didn't. No. They made it up. But anyway, Gleaming the Cube. Can't stream it. Two more to go, Dave. You can do it. Our first feature, how to make an REM record. The REM propaganda continues apace in Sassy Magazine in the December issue. Christina has the byline, although when you actually read the article, it becomes clear that Jane and she both went upstate to the town where they were recording Green. And I'm kind of shocked that Jane did not pull rank to do this interview herself. And maybe if she had, she could have asked about Orange Crush and saved herself some embarrassment. We also learned that they were both so nervous that they missed two buses. No elaboration. How do nerves make you miss your bus? One bus, never mind two.
They're going to have band instruments. They're going to give us lunch. We're going to hear music. Oh, that was the bus.
Yeah. So when they're out for dinner, Michael Stipe asks Jane and Christina about a George Michael concert they had gone to the previous night and is complimentary about Monkey. Although I'm not sure that she transcribed this quote correctly because it seems very stiff. I think it's really cool that his top 40 song Monkey is about drug addiction. No one talks like that. But anyway,
Michael Stipe giving a shit about the top 40 also. It's real.
Exactly.
His top 40 song.
But yeah. So Christina's like, wow, I thought he would be snobby about George Michael. But later we find out there's a sign in the control room that says, if you mess with this mixing board, you'll be forced to watch Rick Astley videos for the rest of your life. So Rickrolling, pre-Rickrolling, but still it's like, okay, got it. George Michael is cool. Rick Astley's a punchline.
But those are the sound guys, you know.
You know, they're always making those kinds of jokes.
Yeah. I suppose. And then Christine is also, like, just enraptured by the idea of, like, she asks him about, you know, his songs and stuff, and then is like, here was a rock star who deliberately planned out what kind of effect he wanted his music to have on people. Yeah, that's writing music. Like, I don't want to know why this is such an earth-shaking revelation for her to comment on.
I'm just upset at the magazines continuing to flip the first and second pages of the article so yep. that the headline and the main photo takes place on the right side of the two-page spread and not the left side. I don't know what they're trying to do here, but it is not working. And every time I see it, I get a little angrier. And who knows what's going to happen when it happens two more times.
I think when you flip through something, you're always kind of staring at the right side of the magazine when you flip, and you ignore the left
side.
Oh my God,
you
both are shaking your heads.
That's not how reading works.
It's how browsing works. You know, like people who, have you ever, you have books. Have you ever gone to the bookstore?
You're making my headache worse with your silliness and your foolishness.
We tried laughter earlier, the best medicine, and Tara shut us down. So this is what we have. This is what we're working with.
Pam, this is like saying, you know, people, when they're just watching a movie, they're usually on their phone. So when I write a script, I try and keep that in mind.
Why do you think I'm so loud? Page 68 is our second feature. It's about, you'll never guess, you really won't, a boy in his truck. The very last guess you'd make is with two hands up going, hi, Jason. Bateman?
You're like, yes! Right. This is extremely unlikely.
Ugh. He is in a full-on NASCAR-y. It's got a Coors sign. It says Rugged Liner. He's got a hat on. He's got Justine Bateman's hair going on a Jason Bateman face.
Very Ford v. Ferrari vibes.
Yes. 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 Is he going to be in a movie about racing trucks? No.
No.
This dude races trucks.
Yeah.
That's what this article is all about.
Paul Newman did it, and then they all had to fucking do it. Jason Priestley went through a period where he was racing cars, too, and he also got into a terrible accident. Like, really, possibly could have been career-ending and life-ending.
Right. How has insurance not made these actors have to stop doing that? I don't understand.
Yeah. Like, fucking Carrie Russell gets yelled at for cutting her hair, but risking their lives on the racetrack. It's like, that's fine.
How dare she?
This article is written by Catherine. Pop culture content from Catherine. Crazy. I don't approve. She's fine.
And that she talks a lot about the photographer who used to be a surfer, so he's got just more of a cool attitude. Also, Dino, his quote unquote name, apparently met Jason before once at a Radio Shack, clearly of some kind, and then just like asked if he could go into his truck, and then they sat around and listened to U2 for a while. It was like awesome, quote unquote. And then that's the story he tells right before they walk up, and he says to Jason, "Remember me? I just told this story, and you're going to back me up because I'm trying to bang Catherine." And Jason Bateman is like, "Yeah, I remember you."
Oh, that's not how I read it at all. I thought she was like, these two have a bond already. They're like California boys being cool, listening to music in their car, and she's on the outside.
I'm just saying, you guys have taught me never trust a boy ever again and to go back and read everything differently. And you're reading it like I read it the first time. And now I'm telling you, you can totally see that Dino is like, just play along. I'm trying to get this chick to date me.
Could be.
And so that's why he talks differently to Dino later when he's like cursing around Dino, but very proper and according to the PR playbook with Catherine.
I also met Jason Bateman in the wild once.
You did.
In my life. At the Whole Foods in downtown Toronto way back in the day. And I know exactly when it was because it was in between, I think, the second and third season of Arrested Development when everybody wasn't sure if it was going to be renewed. And I actually just like ran into him. And so, yeah, I was just talking like, I was like, oh, I introduced myself. I'm Dave Cole from Television of Pity. He's like, oh, I know, blah, blah, blah. Because like Arrested Development's like talkie headquarters on the internet was Television of Pity at the time on the forums. Like, it's where all the fans sort of ended up. And so he knew. So we had a conversation. Really nice guy. And he smelled wonderful. I don't know what it was, but he really smelled great. So Jason Bateman, if you're listening.
Which U2 album did you guys listen together in his truck?
Rattle and Hum.
Always,
yeah,
always.
We had the book. He was showing me the book. We flipped through it as we listened.
Came with the magazine.
What we all desired.
Jason Bateman read a script of mine once and passed.
Oh.
That's what I've got. Seconds after this interview, he almost died in a very bad truck crash and quit his professional racing career. He talked about it recently in his podcast, Smartless. This was like the day before. This picture is like moments before it all went down.
Yeah. Our second Bateman interview in Sassy in 10 issues.
Right. Which one has the best mouth in Hollywood? Best mouth in Hollywood. Sibling battle.
She had a Bateman mouth and a silver spoon tongue. She had a truck that would roar on its top. When I asked the moon for her name and the change in his brain, she said, Dino, I need you to stop. Justine, why is your pretty mouth so mean? Dave's got a headache that started last week. And now we're going to talk about next week. Damn it. I never land the finish.
Next time, we'll be talking about the fashion, etc., of the December 1988 issue. Be Marilyn Monroe or just look like her. Turn an old sweatshirt into a jacket. Why not? Step-by-step prep for your next big holiday party and more. For my plug this week, Dave and I and our co-host Sarah Debunting for the Patreon bonus content for our Melrose Place and 90210 podcast, again with this, watched the 1988 Circus of the Stars, which you can, in its entirety, is available on YouTube. This was a special programming that aired on Thanksgiving Day in 1988, so right before this issue came out. But anyway, we watched it because it featured Brian Austin Green, future 90210 star, when he was but a 14-year-old boy in a pink and purple unitard. But there are many other luminaries in it, and it's really fun. So patreon.com/againwiththis. You can get that content at any level of support.
My throat hurts, you guys, and I don't know why. You can also call
my throat
us.
Was rough.
720 Sassy Go. Leave us a voicemail.
It's just turning into Piano Man, and I apologize. Leave us a voicemail about the show or the
magazine.
Isn't
it convenient that it was Davey who was in the Navy?
Never had time for a wife. It's just sea shanties and a podcast. Listen to sassy.com. I'm getting texts from my mother asking what should she do with a lasagna. So it must be time to go.
His sister Corrine was in the Marines.
Thank you for listening, and we'll yell at you next time.
We won't yell at you ever again. Now, I don't like it.